Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with you and keep you in the days to come. And Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving us sure guidance, for the days to come and who it is that will escape these things coming upon the world. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I think I'm going to continue with our series, Walking in the Man-Child's Steps. And this will be part 4. And it's been very interesting. This first revelation was given to Eve Brast on September the 8th of this 2019. It's about the man-child steps protection from the beast. And I'm just going to give you a couple of contexts here that you can remember through all of these revelations. It's John 17 and 12. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. In John 6 and 70, Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? Okay. So Eve's dream number 1 that she got on September the 3rd of this 2019. I dreamed that I was in a large rectangular living room with others from UVM, and I was sitting and talking to someone on my right. I had on blue jean overall shorts, like the ones I had on in the Moses Man-Child John Deere tractor and trailer dream. And the man-child and bride entered the tribulation. My legs were very white, just like in that dream also. I believe this could represent a pure walk with God for the bride here, typed by Eve. Suddenly I looked down at the bend of my right leg and saw something coming out from behind my right knee. It looked like part of a placenta, and then I saw an extremely white umbilical cord. And I believe this means feeding the spiritual man within with the pure word. Junk food doesn't bring forth this fruit, nor does it bring forth the man-child in our life, right? People are wasting a lot of time with things that don't count. I realized that I was giving birth to a baby out of my right leg. Her note is, our righteous walk brings to birth the man-child Jesus in us. Yes, that's true. And Eve here, as a type of the bride, is bringing forth the fruit of the man-child in her personal man-child. That is her spiritual man, right? There was absolutely no pain, and I delivered the baby feet first. It seemed that he was born earlier than normal. Because this is before the tribulation that the bride is bringing forth the fruit of the man-child. And she said this was because his development looked like that of a 16-week pregnancy, but he was the size of a full-term 40-week gestation. And she puts the number 16 represents love, and the number 40 represents tribulation in the wilderness. His skin and the umbilical cord were brilliant, translucent, pearly white in color. And his hair was solid white also. I believe this is indicating wisdom, the solid white hair. And she gives Isaiah 66, 7 through 8. Before she travailed, that means in the tribulation, she brought forth before her pain came. She was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? In other words, the bringing forth of the man-child, yes, it will be born in one day. Shall a nation be brought forth at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Very interesting. She said, I was concerned for him because initially he wasn't breathing. But as I held him in my arms, he suddenly took in a deep breath. Someone handed me a white blanket to put around him for warmth, but he started developing in my arms immediately after he took his first breath. And when I woke up, he was the size and development of a six-month-old baby. And that was the end of that dream. When this spiritual man, fruit, manifests, it will quickly grow. 2 days before Eve's dream here, Merlene had this same revelation, spoken in a different way, but it was the same revelation. But neither knew that the other person had had the dream. And we call Merlene's dream. I'm going to come back to Eve's dream, but we'll look at Merlene's dream here for just a moment. It says, she called it, the newborn said, Mama. And that's Merlene Laughlin, September the 6th, 2019. In a brief dream, I was in an old house. And I believe this represents the original house of the Apostolic Church. And it came to a bedroom doorway. Merlene's house here as a type of the bride's house where the personal man-child fruit will be birthed. The walls were white, representing sanctification, and the wood trim around the door was left their natural color, because this is coming out of the natural man, isn't it? The door was open, and I walked slowly into the room. A window was off to the right, letting in the daylight that softly hit the wooden floor. The sunlight, right? Amen. The only piece of furniture was the bed across from the doorway. Nothing fancy, but the way it was drew my attention. Wasn't fancy when Jesus was born either, was it? No, we're just following types and shadows here, you know. All of the bedding was snow white. The sheets, several pillows, and a comforter. It seemed unusual to me to see such a bed in an old empty house. Yes, it's something precious born out of that natural house, right? The covers on the bed had been turned down diagonally to reveal something next to the folded area. I went in quietly and I peeked, and I saw a newborn baby all in white with a hat and swaddled in his blanket. I knew it was a baby boy, and I watched him sleep. Then suddenly he said, Mama. He hadn't moved, not even his mouth. And when he said, Mama, it was like Obi when he had learned how to say Mama. And I think that this speaks of the bride's personal man-child, born of the seed of the man-child. He speaks here in spirit because he is the spiritual man who is made up of born-again spirit and soul. He is born to that house, which is the bride, and we praise the Lord. It is coming, right? She said, I was awestruck by this. It was like his spirit spoke to my spirit. I was stirred inside and stood very still. And then I woke up, and I received by faith at random Psalm 80 and 17. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. Well, we know that God gives grace and strength for the Son of Man to be born in the bride, right? Amen. And then we have Eve's dream number 2, which she got on September the 4th. I dreamed that I was in my mother's living room, and I had a baby boy laid out on the living room floor on a faded baby blanket that looked like my son Elijah's baby blanket when he was a baby. This blanket had Noah's Ark on it, with two of each kind of animal. And she puts, Christ in us is our ark of safety. Amen. This baby was extremely white, with white hair, like the baby boy in the dream above, only his hair was a couple of inches longer. So this is a little bit further down the road of maturity, right? Our spiritual man growing in and submitting to God's wisdom. Because in 1 Corinthians 11, hair represents submission, right? He was whiter than the diaper he was wearing. I was so focused on caring for his needs that the clutter stacked around the walls of my mother's living room, talking about the church, didn't bother me. He was my only joy and my only concern. She put, focusing on nurturing Christ in us causes all the distractions to fade away because they aren't an issue any longer. Yes, people are distracted by some unimportant things, not focusing on gaining more of Christ in their spiritual man, which is the reason we're here. And these are the people that God can use. Amen. This baby communicated with me in my mind in a man's voice. Of course, this is your spiritual man, and that's how he speaks to you, right? He would tell me what he needed me to do for him, but it wasn't the normal things that babies need from their mother, like bottles and changing and etc. They were more complicated tasks. Well, you know, anything that the spiritual man-child within you wants, he should get, because these are the things of the kingdom and eternal life. He has no other interest. And she went on to say, I don't remember what his requests were, but they all involved doing something in the kitchen. Because I remember going into the kitchen a lot for him. And she put, nurturing Christ in us with the spiritual food causes us to be able to prepare the food in the kitchen for others. And that was the end of that dream. And it's so true. You know, this is what we're here for. We shouldn't get distracted. Amen. Then here's Eve's dream number 3 on 9/5/19, September the 5th. I dreamed I was in a huge flea market warehouse. It was so big that I couldn't see the outer walls of it. In the dream, I felt responsible for building mini roller coasters for all the children in the warehouse. Okay, preparing the children to rest in faith through the trials and tribulations of life is what I believe this roller coaster is like. You know, you come down, you get a rest, you go back up, you know, come back down, you know. It's the tribulations of life, but it's resting in these coasters, right? It's a rest. It's a ceasing from our own works is the way we do it and the way we survive the tribulations. She said, all the supplies were supernaturally provided for me as well as the roller coaster cars. That's like the manna out of heaven in the wilderness. It was what they received was the provision of God in their wilderness experience. We're not necessarily talking about the tribulation, but the bride goes through a wilderness tribulation before the church does. The rest of the church does. She said, in the past, roller coasters always represented the tribulation period, as in this dream below. And I'll give you this quote here. After this, we went to ride the roller coaster. Its attendant was the death angel. But we have to eat the Passover lamb so he cannot harm us, right? Yes, that's right. He couldn't hurt me because I had my iPod on and that I had all the UBM teachings downloaded onto it. As Ellie and Matt Weller and I and local UBM brethren got on the roller coaster, I heard the death angel say, as he threw the switch, you will ride seven times. Of course, seven times is the 7 years of the tribulation. And the furnace in Daniel was heated seven times. And a time is used for a year, as we see in Revelation 12, 6, and 14. Time, times, that's 2.5 a time. One time, 2.5 a time, 3.5 years. That's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. So, she said, this coaster also had 7 small hills, and it was not scary to us. Well, that's the harlot, which is represented by the 7 hills of Rome, right? Matt was in the last, or the third, coaster car, sleeping with his head resting on his numeric Bible. The renewed mind of the pure word is what I believe is represented here, you know. Ellie was in the middle car, sleeping with her China doll that had a little white sundress on with little blue flowers, heavenly. And I was in the front car, clutching my iPod to my heart with my eyes wide open. China dolls, don't they usually have a white complexion? Kind of like the white baby, right? I built the first one, and the parents and the children lined up to watch me build it. And when it was finished, the first children loaded into the cars, and I got behind the last car and would run and push the cars around the roller coaster tracks. And this represents, she says, all of the work that the first fruits are doing in the kingdom to prepare others to overcome through the tribulation period. Amen. There are a lot of work going on in the kitchen, folks. A lot of work to prepare. The devil hates that kitchen. He's worked hard to try to tear it down, but they have failed and they will continue to fail. And I built 3 of these roller coasters in the warehouse and pushed the children around on each of them. It was hard work and tiring, but I received the strength I needed to finish. And she says, the Lord always strengthens us to do the work he has prepared for us to do. Yes. Amen. And afterwards, I went over to a stand where a lady was selling bags and purses. My dad walked up to me, dressed in the same pastel plaid shirt of light blue, green, yellow, pink that he wears in a lot of my dreams. She explained, of course, that her natural dad wore a shirt like this. But now, of course, we're talking about her, a revelation concerning her spiritual heavenly father, right? I was surprised to see him because in the dream I was aware that he had died in 2012. And he said to me, "I'm really proud of the work that you have done for the children." She said, "My dad represents the father who is expressing approval of our work in the UBM ministry, preparing the books and videos and teachings for our little sister," as in Song of Solomon, right? And Psalm 45, you know, the bride had the virgins that followed her. They were her disciples, it says there. "I was so happy that he approved of me, and I thanked him. He pointed at the pockets of the army green pants that I was wearing and said, 'You might want to check your pockets.' And then he disappeared from in front of me." I believe this speaks of a reward coming to those who prepare God's children with the pure food so that they may endure the tribulations. And Eve said, "Suddenly my pockets felt full and heavy. I put my hands into my pockets and pulled out a lot of money and tickets that I could redeem for more money. I also had zipper pockets on the sides of my pants that were also full of money and valuable tickets. I realized that I was rich, and the money and tickets kept increasing in my pockets." Yes, and this is because when the bride has been prepared, people from all over the world are going to gravitate towards the bride and bring their silver and gold with them, as the scripture says. "So I began looking for a bag or a purse to put all this money into because my pockets wouldn't hold it all much longer because it was growing all the time," right? And she said, "This represents the financial blessings that Father has promised UBM in order to help the people during the times of tribulation that are soon coming." And Vanessa also had a dream about this provision to the bride, too. And we called it the really big purse. I'll depart from Eve for a second here to study this. And this is Vanessa Weeks' revelation on 8/25/19. "Amber, her mother, and I were standing outside and talking. Amber was excited as she showed us a purse Brandy had just given her. It was the biggest purse I have ever seen, like a small suitcase. Well, Amber here represents the bride because she is physically one now. The big purse is the provision to take care of the children in the tribulation. Thank you, Father." And Vanessa puts a note here. "This was Sunday, August the 25th, that I had this dream. And on Monday the 26th, someone had a suitcase on the Shaw's porch to give away. No one took it. And at the end of the evening, Amber took it because it was hers." So here she is packing this suitcase. A confirmation. And I think Vanessa said the purse was as big as a suitcase. So there's a good confirmation in the natural, right? "The same night, I dreamed that some of us were in a building. We were standing at some white tables, which reminded me of our pot blessing tables. We were working on something, making things, and I'm not sure what. And I knew that the provision had just come through." The provision she was just talking about had just come through. Praise be to God. And I believe this is also a provision for the children's food, right? Make sure children all over the world are getting fed. I asked the Lord what he wanted to say about both of these dreams and received by faith at random, Acts 13 and 14. And in context, Acts 13, 13 through 15. Now Paul and his company set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. But they, passing through from Perga, came to Antioch of Pisidia, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and of the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Vanessa said, I feel these dreams are words of exhortation, so I believe I should say on. Also, the Father has been exhorting us to rest in Him on this day of spiritual Sabbath, which is a resting of your flesh, right? So God can do His works. Thank you, Father, for your exhortations to rest in you and that you are bringing the provision. You are the one who gives us all that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, my God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory. And as you know, when Israel went into the wilderness tribulation, they were given a bunch of gold and silver as they left Egypt. And then everything was provided out of heaven in the wilderness. Isn't that interesting? All these types and shadows will be fulfilled. Okay, so let's go back to Eve's dream. Then I went across the aisle to another booth and began looking for some used shoes. I began digging through a large cardboard box of shoes and found a comfortable pair of boots that were the same army green color as my pants. This represents our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And she gives Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And withal, take up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. We are going into warfare, and we've been in warfare, and the Lord has taught us to use our weapons and our shields and so on and so forth in warfare for some time. It's been pretty strong. By the grace of God, we win. I asked the owner of the booth, who was a very tall man with piercing blue eyes and blonde wavy hair and a blonde beard, if he knew how much the boots cost. He said, yeah, they're $27.50. I said, for a used pair of boots? He replied and said, But these are very special boots. I don't know if this is any significance, but it's been exactly 27 and a half years since I got out of the Army. 27.5, she says. Maybe my payment for these boots has come with the last 27.5 years of seeking the Lord and growing up into a warrior for His heavenly kingdom. And I also thought of Psalm 27 and 5. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me secretly in His pavilion. In the covert of His tabernacle will He hide me. He will lift me up upon a rock. Oh, hallelujah. Don't that sound good? And also the number 27 is about philanthropy and compassion in a cooperative atmosphere. The number 27 is a wonderful number. It represents kind-hearted, tolerant, intelligent, and a team worker, and so very much wanting to see humanity better off than it is. Endeavors to inspire others to support humanitarian groups and organizations using its diplomatic skills and enticing them with a vision of an ideal. So where did she get that? Well, she said, she put a note here. I never use numerology, but the meaning of this number seems so in line with what the Lord is doing with the provision, revelation, and UBM. And we know that God can even speak through a donkey. So He does point out things. Some people have asked in just worldly books, open them up, put their finger down, and gotten an answer. Isn't that neat? How God is in sovereign control over everything. The righteous, the unrighteous, the good, the bad, everything. So then we come to Eve's dream on 9/7/19. I dreamed that I was in a very large house with many rooms representing the church worldwide. There were many other people in the house. Suddenly there was an awareness of an evil danger in the house. People started to panic and say things like, "It's coming," and "We need to find a place to hide." They began running past me looking for places to hide, but the places that they were choosing weren't adequate enough, but it was all they could find, and they trembled in the hiding places of despair, knowing they would more than likely be found and killed. I wasn't afraid, but I did feel an urgency to find a place of safety from this evil. I went into one of the bedrooms and saw a queen-sized bed. There you go, queen-sized bed for the bride, right? With a white down comforter and a blonde-colored wooden headboard and footboard that looked like the slats of a crib. Yeah, just like Queen Esther found safety and comfort in the house of the king from the beast Haman. So the corporate bride and man-child will find safety from the beast in our day. So I crawled underneath the bed, which enlarged itself for me, and began praying. Suddenly a bunch of children, who were mine somehow, ran into the room and crawled under the bed with me. Yeah. Everybody wants to find a place, but some are listening to the bride and the man-child, and they know what's coming, and they learn how to be preserved through it. There was plenty of room under the bed for all of us. Well, of course, it's a spiritual bed. It's the rest in the promises of God, which will hide us from the beast, right? Like Psalm 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And as I've always said, who's going to hurt you under there, right? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Can you say that? Because you should. That's what faith in the promises does. It gives you rest, right? My God, in whom I trust, for He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with His pinions, and under His wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. The truth will protect you from the enemy. Right? The door of the room was standing open, and I heard something roaring and coming down the hall. It stopped in the doorway of the room we were in and looked at me under the bed and let out a roar that sounded like a cross between a lion's roar, sounds like Satan, who is a roaring lion, right, and a dinosaur's roar, that sounds like the T-Rex or the dragon beast, right? It was a chimera creature. It was a blue lion, a red dragon, and a brownish-black wolf. Well, the wolf, we know, is the religious predator and deceiver among the children of God, like Judas, the son of perdition. Right? And as we have seen, the faction are members of the dragon body to try to devour the man-child, but they kill many, but fail to kill the man-child. Yeah. And, of course, you remember Herod, right, who attempted to kill the man-child. He killed many, but he missed the man-child, right? It had four legs and two arms like a centaur. The part that was the red dragon was the chest, neck, arms, and head with many sharp teeth. The part that was the blue lion was the four legs and most of the body, plus the head of the dragon had the lion's blue mane. And the rear or rump was the brownish black wolf, but with the lion's blue tail. Okay, so Satan uses the dragon, as in Revelation 12, and the wolves among the sheep to attempt their destruction. Always, throughout history, it's been this way. And so it's nothing new today. It's just on a larger scale, repeating, right? It narrowed its eyes at me with pure hatred and stomped into the room, lowering its head to look under the bed at me and my children. But the bed let down wooden railings with the same type of slats that the headboard and the footboard had. So, all around underneath of this bed, it was there to protect us from the beast, and it knew it could kill us because we were protected. It knew it couldn't kill us because we were protected. Praise the Lord. You know, the devil knows he has no authority when we exercise faith. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. We bind by our faith in the promises of God. And what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And we loose the devil quite often because of the actions that we take, which are unbelieving, and the words that we speak, which are unbelieving. So he's permitted. So you see, this Passover is made powerful by our faith. So it screamed in anger and turned to go out of the room in search of other people who were hiding in all the inadequate hiding places and had no protection. And she gives Revelation 12:13 through 17. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there was given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place. Let me say that the wings of the great eagle represents overcoming, and this was given to her by the man-child who went into the wilderness to teach the woman for the first 3.5 years. Revelation 12 speaks about that earlier, okay? Where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time, that's 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent, nourished by the man-child. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. Now the devil does this all the time. He tries to talk you to death. And if you listen, he will succeed. He'll come against your faith with condemnation. He gets you to looking at yourself rather than looking at the cross and being justified by faith in what happened there. And so this water coming out of his mouth is just that. It's totally contrary to the river of living water that comes out of the mouth of the saints of God. Don't speak what the devil says. You'll lose. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Well, of course, the world always buys what the devil says. He is the god of this world, so it's not unusual. What's unusual is when God's people make him their god by listening to him and following him. That's where their destruction comes. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the remnant of her seed. Well, just like in Eve's dream here, the dragon couldn't do anything because she was under the rest, under the protection of the rest, which was the big bed, and all the children that followed her. Praise be to God. And, of course, the demons are out there trying to convince people not to pay attention to us and the word that's going to save people. That's the Judases, and that's the wolves. So they went away to make war with the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Because, you see, the dragon hates the people of God. They're the only threat. The people out there who call themselves Christians but don't consider the word of God at all, they're no threat to him. And he knows it. What he wants to take out is these people who are a threat to him. Now, he will take out the rest, you know, because he doesn't want them to grow up either, right? I knew in the dream that some of the people escaped the beast, even though they were in poor hiding places, because God had mercy upon them. So I would say to you, saints, pray for mercy for these people. There are many people out there that are ignorant and sometimes innocent because they're weeding their way through Babylon. And, you know, more truth they see, the more they walk, and ultimately they will come out the other side. And so God gives them this grace, you know. So pray for mercy for these people. So after the danger had passed, I went into a connecting room to the one me and my children had hid in. It was connected by 2 white double doors, and it had a king-sized bed with a white down comforter on it. So it got bigger, went from a queen to a king, right? And I heard a couple of small parrots, a male and a female, talking to each other in the double doorway between the rooms. And I looked at them in the doorway, and they were pastel colors, blue, green, yellow, and pink. The same colors that the pastel plaid shirt that my dad wears in my dreams. So anyway, what I got out of this was those who parrot, they use that term, the word of the Father will find rest. Parrot means repeat, right? The word of the Father will find rest. Oh, praise be to God. They flew over into the king-sized bed, and then many more pairs of animals, male and female, came through the doors and got up onto the bed. Praise the Lord. So quite a revival coming from that small place, right? The animals of the ark, of course, is what's being seen here, and seeking an escape from the flood of destruction. And they find that escape in the rest. I thought, wow, this is like Noah's Ark. Yeah. Luke 17:26-30. And it came to pass in the days of Noah, even so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, even as it came to pass in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Notice the judgment in Egypt. They were protected because they were in their houses. And they weren't out there where the Egyptians were. Right. And after the same manner shall it be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Well, amen. So God has provided protection from this beast. We're going to see an attack before the tribulation period, and it's going to be made up of many different things, I think. Pestilence and sword, fire, things that the Bible has pointed out to us that Babylon attacks the people of God with, the apostate people of God with. So, and famine. And so this next revelation here, Marie Kelton, and we called it Protection and Escape from the Beast. And she received this on September the 9th, 2019. She said, in this dream, UBM was in a glass house in the middle of a city. It had blinds all around the house that were opened. The cops came and locked the door to the house for a drill of sorts to see what we would do during a disaster. Well, I know that the angels are like cops to do the test or the drill to see if we would exercise faith in our Passover lamb. And God gave a law that none of the people of God were to leave their house during the Passover of judgment. And some of you know also that the generals, you know, the conservative generals that backed Trump, put out a word to have food and water in your houses and stay in your houses when the trouble starts. He put out that word many months ago. And now we're getting to the place where it could happen at any moment. Marlene wasn't in the house, but was driving in her car, and she pulls up to the house and gets out of her car and frantically knocks on the house. Then a lady from across the street comes up and frantically knocks on the house. We heard them say that a ship was coming. Some people were frantic in the house. Yeah. Then somehow the house broke open and we were able to get out of the house. And what came to me was 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will, with the temptation, make also a way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Yes. So the test was to see who was going to walk by faith, right? And the ship was huge and tearing up a majority of the city. It was sailing on the paved roads, which you can do in dreams now. So I think it's talking about coming through the city of Babylon, which is the U.S. She went on to say, I saw a lady with an amputated leg in a wheelchair and decided to push her to get her out of danger since the ship was coming. I tried to tell the people that I passed on the street about the huge ship coming, but for some reason I couldn't speak loud enough for them to hear me. Well, some people, many people, are not listening to the prophetic voices of judgment that is coming. And this will cost them. I saw Tiambi, and she was escaping from the ship also. We had to walk between a building and an obstacle that had fallen because of the ship, that it had made a narrow path to get through. I don't know how I got through it with the lady in the wheelchair, but I did. Well, God provides a way of escape, doesn't he? For the righteous who have faith. And then a big semi-truck as big as the ship was coming from around one of the corners of the city. And the police were yelling, back, back, to the people trying to get them to hurry up and run away from the semi-truck. But there was no way you could outrun the semi-truck. The semi-truck fell in the middle of the city. Well, my thought was that this is the attack that's going to come from the deep state. And it will ultimately fail, like the Red Sea fall of Pharaoh and his army. Yeah. I thought it was going to roll, but it didn't. Amazingly, no one got hurt when I said there had to be angels helping out. Yeah, amen. There's them angels. Them cops, they're watching over everything. And I believe this is representing catastrophic judgment that's coming against the city of Babylon, the United States. But the righteous are going to escape. There are many wicked among God's people who will not escape, though. And that's what this is all about. We've talked to you about that many, many times. Okay, here's one. God's preparation for our protection. This was given to Sandy Shaw on September the 16th, and Donna Merlin transcribed it for her. In this dream, I walked to the porch, and I was looking out to the field. It was a beautiful, bright day. Then all of a sudden, I started to watch prickly pear cactus grow. It covered the field. It started to grow again, and later began to curve and cover the house and the land. So this is obviously God's supernatural protection. I walked back into the house, and there was a pot blessing going on. Everyone was eating and fellowshipping. I was standing near Michael Hare, and I started to hear helicopters and planes. And I asked Michael, "Do you hear those helicopters?" He said, "No." And all of a sudden, I was outside of the house, high up in the sky. I was higher than the military helicopters and planes. And when I looked further down, all I could see was the prickly pear cactus. And I received this verse by faith at random. Acts 2:19, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Okay, wow. Very interesting. Well, Father, we thank you that you made provision for your people to protect them. And no doubt your people are going to show many more children of God how to be protected during this time. Many are looking for physical ways to be protected, and those will fail, except in cases where we've covered them in prayer, I believe. And Father, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace to those who are innocent, but there may be babies, you know, making their way through Babylon, which acts like a filter to filter out the people who are really not of you, and to let go those that are of you. So we thank you, Father, that your children will climb over the playpen bars and get out. And we thank you for doing that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Please pour out your Spirit upon us and help us to be able to get the food ready for those brethren that are going to be in need to know how to escape these coming things, Lord. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for hindering the wicked who are used of Satan to try to trap God's people and not permit them the wisdom and knowledge of the rest to save them from these days that are coming. We thank you in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask you to bless Michael Hare with a good word today in the name of Jesus, and bless all the brethren that come and listen in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night, saints.